Colton knows where to go. Look at him go. Be finding John 14. We're starting in John 14 this morning. Andrew, oh my goodness. Hello. Look at the baby. No longer a baby, huh? How old is she now? 2 and a half. Oh my gosh. Now, you're the one that's in the military, right? So are you home on a break or? All righty. Stand up a minute, Andrew. We prayed for him. How long have you been in? A year? We prayed for him at this altar a year ago, if you remember, and sent him forth. And you went in the Navy, is that right? So here we are. Look, the yes, sir. Tell us, military man. Andrew, we are so glad to have you, and thank you for your service to our country. We love you very much. You got anything you want to say? You what? Oh, we miss you too, man. Miss you and your whole family. We are so proud of you. Thanks for what you're doing. Which song was that? Oh, Awesome God. Oh, yeah. Yeah. I had to close out. You still like that song? We'll have to close out with that then. Good to see you, Andrew. That's awesome. What a nice surprise.
Wow.
Loving our soldiers come back home. Alive. John chapter 14, we're going to start with verse 15. We're going to read the words of Jesus. Now, let me set some background, what's going on here, so you know. The disciples know that Jesus is going to be leaving them. They're not sure, you know, really, I guess at this point, really why or what's going to happen after he leaves. They're so used to having him around. I mean, who don't want Jesus around, right? He's going to leave, and all of a sudden, what do we do? And Jesus gives them a promise, says, you know, I'm not going to leave you by yourself. I'm not going to leave you comfortless. I'm not going to leave you alone. I'm going to send the Comforter. I'm going to send the Holy Spirit to be with you in my absence. And this Holy Spirit will never leave you, never forsake you. It goes with you wherever you are. And I am so thankful that we have that Holy Spirit in us as believers. Aren't you thankful for the Holy Spirit? Think about where we would be if we didn't have that guiding life inside of us to help us, strengthen us, teach us, and watch over us. So I'm thankful. So Jesus says here, in John 14 and verse 15, and I think this first verse is pretty profound in itself. I just want to process this for me as we read it. He says, if you love me, keep my commandments. Let that sink in for a minute. If you love me, keep my commandments. If you really love me, you'll follow me, won't you? If you really love your wife, you keep her commandments, don't you? If you really love your husband, you do all you can to honor him and please him. When you love your children, you do all you can to protect them, provide for them, correct them. When you love God, if you love God, our love for God should be too such that we do what he tells us to do. Not out of obligation, out of love. There's a big difference. You know, it's like the old saying I say, you know, when someone forces you as a little boy, go kiss your grandma. You know you love her. Go kiss her. Okay. Well, really? She don't want that. But when you go, hey, Granny. Wow. That just makes all the difference, doesn't it? Because they're hugging you because they love you. If we love God, we'll do what he says because guess what he did for us? Oh, I don't know. Saved our soul. Forgave us of our sins. Gave us everlasting life. We have hope forevermore because of Christ who came, died, and rose the third day. And now I am forgiven of my sins, all of my sins. I'm forgiven and I'm cleansed and I'm washed in the blood and I'm saved by grace. It's a gift God gave me. Who else could give me such a gift? Nobody but God could give me such a gift. This gift he gave me was nothing to do with me or my holiness or my goodness or my good behavior or my good deeds. Has nothing to do with that. Jesus gave me this gift as a gift of grace. I don't get what I deserve. And man, I am thankful for that. I don't receive what I deserve. What do I deserve? I deserve judgment and separation and abandonment from God because I've not kept his law. But Jesus stepped in and fulfilled that law on my behalf and now has given me the gift called grace. And so why would I not love a God like that who gave me this precious gift of grace? When everybody else left me, God doesn't. When everybody doesn't love me no more, God still loves me. When nobody will look at me, God still looks at me. When nobody listens to me, God will listen to me. When everybody walks away out of my life, God doesn't. Now, we walk away from God. I'll make that very clear. People get real upset about this. I don't know where God was. He let this happen. Let this happen. I don't feel God. Don't hear God. God ain't around. God is right where you left him. I promise you. God has not forsaken you. There's times we walk out of his word, out of his will. We don't want to hear his voice. We don't want to hear the truth. So we reject it and then we blame God for that. Man, God's your best friend. Don't blame God for nothing. He is your best friend. And I am thankful for that. Life happens. Life is hard. And there's questions we can't answer, and I get that. I get that. I went to visit someone Friday who is having some issues, emotional issues, and I went to visit them, and they were in a special place for their good will, you know, in trying to protect them. And I went to visit this person, and they had all these deaths, father, brother, father-in-law, mother-in-law, all within 2 or 3 years. They had all this, and he's like, I don't understand. We don't understand, but I can and I do understand this, that God absolutely is for me and that God still loves me and God knows exactly what he's doing, and I trust that like a little child trusts their parents. Little Colton is totally dependent on the provision of his mom and dad. Totally. Colton's not back here worried about, am I going to get to eat today? He's not back there worried about, am I going to have a bed to sleep in tonight? He's not worried about what I'm going to wear tomorrow. He's not worried about, is mama going to be there? Daddy going to be there? Am I going to be by myself? Am I going to be lost? Am I going to be abandoned? He has no fear of that. He's in complete trust that his mom and dad, they're there for him. We need that childlike faith again. God, you're there for me. I don't have all the answers. And life can stink sometimes up to the high heavens. I get it. Things happen. Rotten things happen to God's people. Yes, it is part of the circle of life, so to speak. It's part of the process of us existing. Someone said one time that the day we are born, we are starting to die. And in the flesh, we are. We begin to age. We see our kids. Look at the difference in that little baby from when it was born to 2 and a half. It went from the size of a microphone, you know, to the size of a big girl. Thank you. I couldn't think of anything clever there. A big girl. I mean, already we've seen this child grow. And then we hit the puberty age, and our voice starts getting deep, right? For us guys. You know, us guys, about 12, 13, you have that in-between voice, right? Hey, honey, how you doing? You know, you go back and forth. It's so embarrassing. And then finally, my mom used to make fun of me for that. Then finally, your voice changes. All right? Then you grow older and older, then you hit 30s, you start, and then 40s, you start turning gray, right? You start get changing a little bit, you start having some pain. Then you get 50 and 60, and then you look like Don. My God. You know, and then all of this stuff, life just happens, right? Life happens. But God doesn't leave us, and God doesn't forsake us. And he wants us to listen to him and follow his voice and follow his commands, because God's plan is always the best plan. Verse 16, Jesus says this, I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter that he may abide with you for how long? Ever. I'm going to send you some help, and the help I'm going to send will abide with you. It means it lives inside of you. It remains with you forever through every season, every storm, every battle. People say, where was God? I'm right here. Where was you at then? I was right there. He is always there, always, to help us and to watch us and to keep us. Now, the word comforter has some neat meaning. If you look up comforter in the original Hebrew, it's a word that I can't pronounce. I'm not going to try to. But from this original root word, the Hebrew, comforter means to advise, to exhort, to comfort, to strengthen, to intercede, and to encourage. That's what he left us. Think about that. To strengthen us, to encourage us, to, you know, advise us. We don't like advice. We ask for it. We don't like what they say. I counsel a lot of folks don't like sometimes the advice. Thank you, Chuck. Did everything work out okay? Oh, you can't find him? Okay. He must have got gone. Okay, well, thank you for going. I appreciate that. We sent Chuck on a love mission to help one of our people who were on the side of the road, and they're gone. So thank you, Chuck, for you and son going doing that. We ask for advice, but sometimes we don't really want to hear it, do we? We say, now be honest. What do you think? Well, can I be honest? We don't really want to be honest. But man, the Holy Spirit advises us in our lives of how we should live, how we should go. It directs our steps. Here's what I want to say. Here's something. People ask me this question, and people argue with me about it. I'm not going to argue with you. I mean, I don't judge nobody for it. You and God is your life. I really mean that. But people ask me sometimes, you know, Pastor, I drink some. Is that wrong? I do this some. Is that wrong? I do this some. Is that wrong? Whatever the Holy Spirit is telling you is what you need to listen to. Period. And I says before, and not many preachers will say this, okay? If God ain't convicting you, you probably can't quit. You ain't been convicted. You can't force someone on somebody until they are convicted that it's wrong. You can't help nobody to Jesus if they don't know they need Jesus. And so we have to pray that the Holy Spirit will speak to them. Now, people categorize sins. They do this, this ain't bad, this is bad. Just listen to the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit's convicting you of anything in your life to let go of. We need to listen. There's a reason he's talking to you. It may not be this big thing you think, well, not if it's if God is speaking to you, if God's directing you, there's a reason he's bringing it up. Would you think it's a big deal or not? There's a reason he's bringing it up. Now, I've never been one to drink any alcohol. Never have. Never tasted alcohol. Never have. I'm like a Nazarene. Well, I'm not quite. Samson didn't do that real well. Anyway, I never have. Now, do I look at someone that drinks alcohol and think, oh, my gosh, they're heathen, hellbound? No, I absolutely do not. Why don't you drink then, Pastor? Because God just won't let me. It's as simple as that. God won't let me. I can't do that. Doesn't mean you can't do that. But here's the deal. If the Holy Spirit is convicting you of, I need to probably let go of this out of my life, or it's probably not the right light in my life, or I, you know, whatever, don't just push it off like, you know what? I work hard all week, by George. I put my 40 in, and I'm going to bust me up with some coals, and I don't feel a bit bad. If you're justifying it that much, God is talking to you. That's all I'm saying. It's like I told Don and Barbara one Sunday. I was talking about sin or something, and you know, Barbara kept hitting Don like that. And so I told her, I said, you know, Barbara, the one doing this is the one that is being convicted. That's how that works. Just saying. I'm not seeing Barbara do that no more. It's important that we listen to the Holy Spirit. He said, I'm not going to leave you boys alone. I'm not going to leave the world alone. I've got a plan in place that my presence is going to be with you forever. Verse 17, even the Spirit of truth, who the world cannot receive because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but you know him, for he dwelleth with you, and I love this next part, and he shall be in you. Oh, here's the best example I can think, and I've used this example many times, so don't shout me down for it. It's just a good example, I think, of the Holy Spirit, of the difference. When you are thirsty, really thirsty, you've been out there chopping that wood, Chuck, or you've been out there, you know, playing that ball game, you've been out there working in your yard, you're just thirsty, and your wife, you want a cold water? Sure, man, yeah, thank you. She pops that bottle and dumps on top of your head. Well, I mean, that feels good, cools you down, you're wet, but guess what? You're still thirsty. See, it went on the outside of you, not on the inside of you. But man, when you pop that bottle of water and chug it down, you're satisfied inside. See, the Holy Spirit, what God was going to do was put it inside of us. To where we were quenched and we were satisfied and we were filled. See, the Word of God is not just good words to quote. It's not just a religious thing to go through. It's not a Sunday, Wednesday thing. It's a relationship every single day where the Word of God should be so alive in us that it comes out of us in our everyday life, that we're using the Word of God in every decision we make, every place that we go, that the Word of God is there, hidden in our hearts, ready to come out when needed. It's got to be here first, though. It can't just be here. Man, I know a lot of people can quote a lot of scriptures that don't have any depth at all when it comes to the things of God. They can quote scriptures, but there's nothing in here. Man, there's no power in here coming out. They're living their lives in total defeat. Can quote scriptures, but the word's not come alive in them. Holy Spirit, rain down. Let your words change my heart. Let it be. Man, if we were as passionate about learning God's word as we were about tearing down the president or talking politics, we'd be shouting up in here, hallelujah, 50-fold. If we had a passion for the word of God as we do our sports teams, and we shouted Jesus as much as we did, bad call, refs, man, we'd be a lot further along. Where's our passion at? We can get very passionate about the things that are important to us. Very passionate. Oh, my nails. Oh, my hair. Passionate. I don't look perfect today. We didn't look perfect yesterday, just letting you know. I'm just saying. just keeping it real. We put so much passion into things that don't matter. And then when it comes to things of God, he's kind of on the back burner. Well, yeah. The Bible, prayer, Jesus, the God thing, da, 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 da. We could do nothing without him in us. The old song, I can't even walk without him holding my hand. Man, I can't take a step if the life of God is not in me. I can't see a picture if the life of God's not in me. I can't hear a word if the life of God's not in me. Nothing matters. My heart doesn't beat unless the word of God is in me, keeping that alive, the breath of God inside of me. His word should change us. We shouldn't be changing the word. And sometimes we do. We change the word to fit our agenda. We take out parts of the word that we don't want to deal with. And we add a lot of stuff to it to make it seem really good. But we don't need to. Listen to the Holy Spirit and trust him. It will be in you, he says. Verse 18, Jesus says, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Don't worry, I'm going away, but I'm not going to leave you by yourself to deal with this big bad world without some help. Man, I'm glad I got his help. His help is everything. You ever been in a crisis? You just called out to God, and as you begin to pray and really talk to God, a peace came on you. The battle didn't end. The storm's still there. But the peace came. That is the power of his Spirit calming you down in the midst of your storm. Saying, it's going to be okay. I've got peace. And that's all that I need. If I got peace, everything is fine. I don't have to have the answer. I just got to have the one that is the answer. Right by my side. And God, I've got you. And I want to listen to you. And I want to follow you. And I want to hear what you've got to tell me. I want to hear the voice of the Holy Spirit. Not just hear it, but follow what I'm hearing. A lot of us hear things. I mean, you ever talk to someone and try to give them some direction? They never change. I mean, never change. They're hearing you, but they're not hearing you. They're hearing the words out of your mouth, but it's not changing them. They just pass it on. They just cover it up. They just move on. They don't hear nothing. If you've raised kids, you know that, right? You tell them, clean your room, do this, do that. They don't do it. Can you please clean your room? You do that. You tell them, oh, I heard you. I heard you. I know. I know. Famous word of 10, you're right. I know. I know. You don't know. That's why I'm telling you, because you don't know. Follow instructions. Hear the word of God. Hear his Holy Spirit, and then do what his Holy Spirit is leading you to do, and trust it, and rest in it, and obey it. There's a reason for it. I'm not going to leave you by yourself, not going to leave you alone. Verse 19, yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more, but you will see me. Because I live, you shall live also. Boy, that's good news, isn't it? Jesus is going to die, but he knows he's going to raise again, and he knows he's going to live. And because of that resurrection, we live too. Death doesn't have us. Death doesn't take us. Life has us. We are serving life in a good sense. We are serving life, and I'm so thankful. Verse 26, skip down to 26. But the Comforter, still Jesus talking, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things. The Holy Spirit will teach you all things. Now, yes, ministers, teachers, spiritual advisors are all important part of our lives. We need that in our lives to help us. But when it comes down to it and nobody's around, the Holy Spirit in you is enough to teach you what to do. We know right from wrong. We grew up as a child knowing right from wrong. You know, Kingston or Colton or little Maverick, as small as they are, you know, that little child, even 2.5, she already knows right from wrong. She knows when daddy says don't do that, why she keep trying to do it. And then look at them. She knows. She knows I'm being bad. Are you going to really pop my hand if I do that? Are you really going to calm me down? Can I get by with it? We know right from wrong. God put that conscience in us at birth. And here's what happens. Here's why so many go the wrong way, is they don't listen to the voice of God. They do it their way, and that's it. That's all that matters. I'm going to do it my way, not God's way. God's way may not always, in your eyes, be the funnest way. You may think, oh, man, if I do it this way, I'm going to miss out on all this. No, you're not. You're going to have so much more doing it God's way than the world's way every time. Man, you're going to have, you know, we talked Wednesday night about, you know, Heart of Thanksgiving and about how we should have joy as Christians and how that joy should be real. I mean, man, we saved. We born again up in here. Man, we've sanctified by the blood of Jesus. We's on our way to heaven. And the journey gets sweeter every day, as the old song says. I know where I'm going. I know my past is forgiven and my future is sealed. I know the grave can't have me and death won't take me and the devil won't hold me because I've been set free by the blood of the Lamb. I've got something to shout the joy for. Man, I should be happy and celebrating the goodness of my God who saved me when nobody else could save me. When nobody else could do a thing in my life, Jesus accomplished it all at one appointment, at one time, at one cross, on one hill, forevermore. He did that for me. And all I need to do is let him lead my life now. God, lead my life. I want to follow you. You know, the military is a real tight camaraderie. They're tight. Thank you. And, you know, you hear expressions like, you know, I've got you back, brother. And I'll follow you into the pit of war. And if they shoot me, if they shoot you down, they can shoot me down. No, you don't really say that probably, but you know what I'm saying. I mean, you're there for your comrades, right? I'll drag you out of the fire barefoot up a hill 20 miles of snow to grandma's house. You know? I'll do all of that because I'm a soldier. And I'm there for you. And I got your back. Man, God has got our back and God is there for us. And we're going to go through storms. It doesn't mean God is not there. The presence of a storm does not mean the absence of God. Man, God is right in our storm. And God is, do you realize that God's even protecting you from the storm? I mean, how many of you have been through severe thunderstorms, tornado watches, and you were okay? Nothing happened to you. The storm's all around you. The wind's blowing. The branches are falling. The Weather Channel siren's going crazy and take shelter and you see the dark clouds and I mean the storm, you're in the midst of that storm, but then the storm passes and you're okay. And you're okay while you're in the storm and you're okay before the storm and you're okay after the storm and you'll be okay when the next storm comes because I'm not going to leave you and I'm not going to forsake you. Listen to my words and follow me. Let my word change you inside. And be real Christians, followers of me. It's more than being religious. Me and Melanie talk about this all the time. Had an incident recently where very religious, godly character people completely just tore down someone with wrong words. And I'm sitting there like, how do you do that? You're a child of God, and you're spewing, you're breaking down instead of building up. That person wasn't following the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit doesn't tear down, church. The Holy Spirit doesn't bring hurt and harm and damage. The Holy Spirit encourages and edifies and helps and builds up. So let our words be shapen by the voice of God and by the Holy Spirit. There's times we should talk, and there's times we should shut up and not say nothing. How many of you do not have a filter between your brain and mouth? Anybody? Yeah. That y'all were so honest. About six hands went up. That's awesome. You know what that filter is? The Holy Spirit. I know there's times we want to lash out, and there's, just do the 5-second rule, right? When something hits you, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. It's amazing what 5 seconds will make a difference in your life. Let the filter be the Holy Spirit in your life, and don't always do what your flesh tells you to do, because, man, your flesh will get you in trouble. I promise you. Let the Holy Spirit guide you. It will help you. It brings restraint. It helps control your footsteps. Go to the next scripture. Oh, no, I didn't finish reading. I'm sorry. He shall teach you all things, and he shall bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said. This is important. We think, well, I don't really know the Bible that good, which we should. We're Christians, right? We should be reading our Bibles more than just when you're here on Sunday mornings. We should be reading it during the week. We should know the Word of God as Christians. That's our weapon. That's our tool. We should know that. I mean, once again, a lot of us know the stats of our favorite baseball player, football player, basketball player. We know the top 5 rushers all time in the NFL. We know who's in the Hall of Fame last year. We can name who won the World Series last year. We can name how many RBIs they hit, who won the AL crown, ML bat. We can name all this stuff. We can name who the starting quarterback for Pittsburgh is today. Who's it going to be? See, Don knows. Exactly right. This guy don't affect Don's life none, unless he bet on him. Hope he didn't gamble. But if he didn't gamble on him, this guy don't affect his life at all. And here we are as Christians. And when the enemy comes, do we have any word in us to come out? The Holy Spirit gives us that remembrance. I've heard the Word of God my whole life. I was raised in church, raised in Sunday school, raised in preaching my whole life. And there's things that are in me that was put in me years and years ago that come out when needed because it's there. These children in the sanctuary during worship, they're hearing the Word of God. They're hearing the songs. They're hearing the message. They're hearing what's being said. I've seen kids locked in on me preaching, 7, 8-year-olds locked in on me when I'm preaching. Their spirits receiving that Word of God. And they may not go use it next week at school. They may not use it next year. They may not use it in 10 years. But there's going to be a point that word is in there. It's going to come out because the Holy Spirit is going to remind them of that word and when it's needed to be applied. That's what the Holy Spirit does. It reminds us and it helps us. It brings back to our remembrance who we are in Christ and what Christ did for us. Use that word. Let it change us. Next verse, 1 Thessalonians, I believe. 1 John 2:27. But the anointing which you have received of him abideth in you. That Spirit of God, that special touch of God, lives inside of you. It remains in you. You need not that any man teach you, but as the same anointing teacheth you all things, and is truth, and is no lie, and even as it hath taught you, you shall abide in him. Let the Spirit of God govern your life. Let it govern it. We should take everything before God, right? Wake up in the mornings. This day, Lord, is yours. My decisions, Lord, let me listen to what you have to say. Everything that rises up, God, let you be the voice that I hear. I want your Holy Spirit to direct my steps in all that I do. I don't want to get outside your will. I don't want to get outside your plan. Keep me in your plan, God. I love being in God's plan. The good thing about God versus politics, you can keep your plan, and you can keep your God. And I love that. I mean, I love that. He is part of my plan. He has my days numbered. And no matter what happens in this world, he's not going to change. And he's not going to just walk away from me because I act ugly or I step out of line. There's been a big misconception. We have a lot of preaching that are putting people in the fire instead of putting people at the cross. And there is a huge difference. Man, let's paint. Man, God loved us so much that when he died and rose, he came back to fill all of us, that we would have power. The Bible in Acts says, Jesus said, you know, that, you know, go away on the promise, and when it comes, you shall receive power. You shall receive power. You'll be endued with power to go out and be my witnesses throughout all the earth. Man. There's a boldness that comes to us as Christians that we shouldn't be ashamed to declare his goodness. And many of you aren't. I know that. Many of you do declare God's goodness. You do testify and you talk to people and you pray with people. And we should do that as God's people. We should take that outside these walls, because that Spirit of God doesn't just stay here when you leave. It goes with you. It follows Gordon right out the door. And here's the scary thing, a little bit scary. Think about this. Even in our sin, right? In our darkest moments of depravity, the Holy Spirit still doesn't leave us. It's right there. And that's, how many times have you felt led from God to do something and you disobeyed, and you knew why you were disobeying, and you didn't listen to that voice, and it got you in trouble. You didn't listen. Listening's a lost art today, isn't it? God gave you 2 ears, right? And 1 mouth for a reason. We've all heard this. To hear is twice as much as we talk. That's a good formula to follow. But most of us blabber that mouth and spew out stuff before we think, because y'all ain't got no filter. It's important to have that filter. And that filter is through the Holy Spirit. Next verse. 1 Thessalonians 2:13. For this cause also we thank God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God, which you heard of us, you received it not as the word of men, but as in truth the word of God, which effectively worketh in you that believeth. Man, God's word ought to be actively working in our lives, not just something we go out the door, shake my hand, good job, preacher. You know, maybe not a good job this morning, whatever. Good job, preacher. Good message. And then nothing else happens from that. The word of God should be effectively active in our lives. Working, governing, speaking, leading. We ought to be hearing what God says, doing what God says, and letting his Holy Spirit lead us into every step of our lives that we take. It should be active. Not just religion. Relationship. We should be talking to God as much as our spouse, right? Talking to God as much as our children. Talking to God as much as our we do to ourselves, if you're one of those people. And I am. And I answer myself back. Because I'm the only one that had any sense at the time. So, all the voices that we hear. And sometimes we gravitate to the wrong ones. Here's what happens. We gravitate to the ones that we like, not the ones that we need. Not the ones that we need. You know, I had an issue I dealt with this week with someone who's going through a family issue, and they text me and say, I'm a horrible person. So I let that sit overnight. Next morning I responded. I said, no. You're not a horrible person, but you made a horrible decision. There's times people need to know the truth. Yes, not a horrible person, still loved by me, by God, but yes, horrible decision. It's the truth. The truth is what sets us free, right? The truth is what sets us free. And the truth is, we all need God. The truth is, God does love us. And the truth is, God does want to lead our lives. And the truth is, a lot of times we don't let him. I don't want to give up my stuff, Pastor. I like my life. I like the way things are. But man, if God is speaking to us about anything in our lives that is a hindrance, let Him take that away from us. God, break that out of my life. I don't want that to be something that dims the light of You. It may seem meaningless to you. It may seem harmless to you. But you know something else the Holy Spirit does in our lives? It convicts us. It convicts us. It reminds us, hey, no, not good. Don't go here. Don't do that. Don't say that. Don't go there. It convicts us. Now, we got free will, right? We can do whatever we want. We can override God's voice, override His word. We can go totally against His word. We can do everything His word says not to do. We can do it anyway. God's not going to stop you from doing what you want to do. But He does speak to you. And He tries to help you. Once your kids get a certain age, you really can't control them, right? You know, if they're still in your house, you can. But actually, didn't hear that. She's back there yawning. But once they're out of your house, you can still give them advice, but they ain't got to listen. You can say, son, you're 20 years old now. You're an adult. But here's what I suggest. They can do it or not do it. You can't control it, but you can give them the advice. That's what the Holy Spirit does. Holy Spirit says, Gordon, here's what I want you to do. I hear you, God. Hallelujah. Praise you. Thank you for the voice, God. Boom. He goes the other way. And then he's weeping the next morning, holding a pillow and rocking himself like he's a crazy man. Oh, I'm sorry, God. I'm sorry, God. I'm sorry, God. Because he, you know, he didn't do what he's supposed to do. You didn't really do that, did you? Okay. You know, I mean, we can do whatever we want to do. That's fine. It's like a quote I heard one time I loved. I don't know who said it. Wasn't me. But I love who said it. It says, we are free to make any choice we want, but we're not free from the consequences of those choices. Think about that. Right. We're free to make any choice, but you're not free from the consequences of that choice. You reap what you sow, whether we like it or not. Like my old preacher used to say, he said, we sow a harvest that we don't like when we pray for a crop failure. Right? You know what? You sowed her, got a reaper. Next verse, we'll close out with this. This is in James, the good book of James. James is a great name, by the way. James chapter 1. James means the beloved. I like that. I'm beloved. I'm beloved from above. All righty, James. Where am I at here? James chapter 1, verse 22. Be ye doers of the word, not only hearers only, deceiving your own selves. Be doers. How many of you, I've got to lose weight. I'm going to go to the gym. Or Ashley's famous saying, I'll start tomorrow. And then tomorrow comes. I'm going to start tomorrow, Dad. We hear things, but are we doing things? I hear you, God. I hear you. I heard you speak. Put that big old check in the plate. But you know what? I'm not going to do it. Boy, no laughs on that. Y'all get so serious about money. Good gosh, y'all. Lighten up. There's more where it came from. Promise you. You know, we hear God, but we don't pull the trigger. I hear you, Lord. But hearing and doing are two different things. Once again, go back to your kids. They hear you. Them boys will sit there and listen to Chuck probably, at least for a little bit, before they start tuning you out. They'll listen to Chuck. Let me tell you something, boy. Let me talk to you. Okay, Dad, what you got? They'll listen for a little bit. But are they doing what they're hearing? Are they applying the lesson? Or just hearing, Dad, and then walking out and doing the same thing. There's a big difference. The Holy Spirit wants us to not just hear Him, but do what He's calling us to do. There's a reason for that. Verse 23. For if we be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like a man beholding his natural face in a glass. He beholdeth himself, he goeth his way, and then he forgetteth what manner of man he was. Now, just give an example. You know, you look in a mirror at yourself, you know, I know none of y'all do that. But you look in a mirror at yourself, then you walk away from the mirror. You're no longer looking at that image. You're no longer a part of that presence of your image. You walk away from that. But when you do the word of God, you're not just hearing, you're abiding in that presence. You're doing it and abiding there. You're there. He goes on to say this. Whosoever looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth, him being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the word, this man shall be blessed in his deed. You want the blessing of God? You got to do it right. The only way to lose weight is what? Do it. Don't talk about it. Don't bellyache about it. Don't whine about it. Don't make excuses you got the obese genes. Just do it. Nike stole it from the Bible, didn't they? What's Nike's slogan? Just do it. Just do it. You don't like your behavior? Change it. You don't like who you are? Change it. You don't like being bald? Change it. Be a doer. Do it. We complain and we bellyache about what we don't have, what we want. Just do it. When it comes to the things of God, you're not happy to walk with God. You're weak. You want to be closer. Something in your life's missing. Let the Holy Spirit open yourself up to hear what He's got to say, and then when He speaks, start doing what He's telling you to do. We can't ignore the Holy Spirit and expect to be blessed. We can't ignore His Word and expect to be blessed. We can't do it our way, church. Many of you have a testimony of doing it your way for many years, and it led to nothing but destruction and misery and pain. And then when you turn over to God, finally turn over to God, things begin to change. All of a sudden, you had a peace the world couldn't give you, a hope the world couldn't give you, and a joy the world couldn't give you. Listen to the Holy Spirit and let His Word change you. This ministry is named Living Word. It's named Living Word for a reason, because His Word is living. His Word is alive. It's not just idle words. It's not going through religious motions. Man, it's got to change us. Confessing to a priest or a pastor, going through the logistics of a ritual worship, doesn't build your relationship with God. What builds is letting the Holy Spirit inside of you come alive to where you're walking in the power of that. And it makes a difference. When I was in school, I walked in the power most days, try to walk in the power of the Holy Spirit. And when temptation came my way, and it came my way a lot, like it does all of us, I would begin to pray and talk to God and call upon Him for help, that I wouldn't go that way and go that path. And He would convict me to not do this. And I had a choice. I could override it and do what I want to. God, I'm 16. I'm living the dream. I'm 16 one time. That's all that matters. But what we don't realize is sometimes the seed of our 16-year-old years can produce a lot of pain for years to come after that. So God knows what He's doing. I promise you can be 16 and love Jesus and follow Him and make it through school. Me and Bill are living proof. We were two Christian nerds. Well, I wasn't a nerd. Bill's a nerd. I was playing Bill. I'm kind of like Don. Now, Don said one time, you know, I love Jesus, but I cuss sometimes. Okay, well, I didn't cuss, but I can say this, Don. I love Jesus, but man, I sure like the girls a lot too. I'm just saying. God made some pretty things He made women. There ain't nothing prettier God made than a woman. Well, it depends on what kind of woman you are, I guess. No offense. God made a pretty woman. So I love Jesus, but you know what? I like to sing to the girls too and flirt in high school. Didn't make me a bad person, just made me who I was. But man, I tell you, I did live my life. When temptation came, I would call on God during those tough years. I really would. And God kept me because His Word was in me alive. It wasn't some superficial thing. I didn't say it wasn't because I was a member of a church. It's because I was a member of His kingdom. And that makes a difference. Man, I was a child of God, adopted into His family. And that changed everything. Listen to the Holy Spirit. Pull that song up, Brandon. Awesome God. You know how to find it? Yes, that's correct. We'll sing that in our closing. We'll sing that. And Andrew, you're welcome to come join us, brother, if you want to join us. All right, good. Y'all make your way up here, singers. Make your way up here. Y'all know this song. We will sing this for God, and we will sing it for our soldier, Mr. Andrew, the United States Navy. God is awesome. Listen to his voice. When you leave this place today, I want you to remember these words. And what I want you to take from this message, if nothing else, is that the Holy Spirit in me, follow that. When that voice starts speaking, I know it speaks to us. How do you know Pastor God is talking? Man, you know. You get that knowledge that rises. You get that understanding inside of you. You hear kind of what to do and not what to do. That is God talking to you. Don't discount that. Well, that's just in my head. Well, if it's in your head, go with it. Because it's better not listen to what's in your head. I'm telling you, that's how God speaks to us. Let me know when you get ready, Brandon. He's ready. Go ahead and pull it up. Y'all stand to your feet. Let's sing this song. Go out of here celebrating our awesome God. Go ahead, Brandon, play it. Make sure it's cranked up good.
Somebody lift your hands as we celebrate the greatness of our God. He's great and he's greatly to be praised.
Yes, he is. Universe lives inside of you. Think about that. Lives inside of you.
This little worship song that says this: our God is awesome.
My God is awesome.
He can move mountains.
He can move mountains.
Keep me in the valley.
Keep me in the valley.
Hide me from the rain.
Hide me from the rain.
Come on, our God is awesome.
My God is awesome.
He heals me when I'm broken.
Heals me.
Where I've been weak. Forever he'll reign.
Oh, yes,
come on, say, my God is awesome.
My God is awesome.
He can move mountains.
He can move mountains.
Keep me in the valley.
Keep me in the valley.
Hide me from the rain.
Hide me from the rain.
My God is awesome.
My God is awesome.
He heals me when I'm broken.
Heals me when I'm broken.
Strength where I've been weak.
Strength where I've been weak.
Forever he'll
reign.
Come on,
oh, oh yes, here it is, church.
My God is awesome.
Thank you, God.
You know it's awesome, say it.
Awesome.
Come on and lift your voice.
Awesome.
Yes, Lord.
Awesome.
Awesome.
My God.
Savior of the whole world,
giver of salvation,
giver of salvation.
By his stripes,
I'm healed.
Yes.
My God is awesome.
My God is awesome.
Today I am forgiven.
Today I am forgiven.
His grace is why I'm living.
His grace is why I'm living.
Somebody ought to praise his holy name.
Praise his holy name.
Come on and testify. Yes. You know he's awesome. Say,
my God is awesome.
Thank you, Lord. Lift your voices.
Awesome.
celebrate the awesome
yes.
God.
Yes.
Oh. Yes.
Yes. Oh, he's awesome. Hallelujah. Glory to God.
Thank you, Jesus.
Tim, you mind stepping up here? I want to just pray for you. I saw your face. I just feel led to do this morning. I just want to pray for you. As I look back at you, I heard these words. I'm not going to leave you, and I'm not going to forsake you. Rest in me. In the name of Jesus, Lord, let a peace fill Tammy's life that she needs right now. No matter what happens, what tomorrow brings, let your peace overcome her fear. Let your light cast out her darkness. And we know the healing hand of our Savior is on this vessel, your child, in the name of Jesus. Amen. Y'all gonna be seated this morning. Ushers, come on up here. Give you a chance to give that big fat, give your offering this morning. Y'all stay up here. Stay up here, y'all. Singer, stay up here. Yeah, you can sit down, I guess. Thank you, sir. Dismissed. Be the first time to give in December. This is the first Sunday. Lord has been good to us this year and blessed us, and we appreciate all your support. If you're not supporting us financially, I've got three words for you. Shame, shame, shame. Support a church if you can. We're all part of it. This is our church, not my church. It's God's church and it's our church. And everything does make a difference, I promise. We're excited about what God's done here this year, excited about what next year is going to bring. 17 years of ministry. At. Hard to believe it's been 17 years. Some of y'all weren't even born 17 years ago. Abby wasn't born. Of course, that little one wasn't born. You were barely born, and you were barely born. Peyton wasn't born. David wasn't born. Yeah, right, Gordon. You were a little kid. Sure. You tell yourself. Trey was only about 3. Nick was only about 1. Oh, a little one here. God's been, Maverick and Hudson wasn't born. D was little. Well, D wasn't little, but you were young. You're still in your you're still 10 years. Yeah, 17 years. You're still a teenager. We started this church. Now she got 2 kids of her own. Long time, church. We appreciate your support. We got 1 more month this year. We want to close out strong.